Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are a queer survivor superfan podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Derek Grining, and I am joined by who I like to call Sweat and Savvy, respectively. It's Christine Palin and Sam Stanish.
Why am I Sweat?
you know what you did.
I know what I did.
Because
I was going to say, well, I have glasses, but I realize we both have glasses.
You know.
Christine and I kind of are like boyfriend twins a little bit.
Literally. Kind of, yeah. Well, you know, speaking of glasses.
Perfect.
Half full or half empty?
Yes, it's the it's yet to be decided. But we are here with the one, the only Gabby Pascuzzi.
Yeah, glass half full, I think.
I think so too. I see that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Yes, Gabby, how's it hanging? How's life?
It's hanging great. I'm so excited to be back on BJ Pod with all of you. And I was just saying that Christine and I finally get to talk off of Twitter. And yeah, all of us glasses girls just get to talk today.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah,
Derek, you're officially outnumbered.
Yeah. I'm a moderator in this. Yeah.
No, it's like in Mario Party where the three of us have landed on a blue space and Derek is on a red space. And so it's a 3-in-1 minigame here today.
It's so true. Oh my gosh. I hope we get one of the ones that's easier for the three people and like really hard for the one person. And we can all gang up on you and bully you.
No, I hope we get the one where I get to spin the thingy and try to make you all fall down a hole. That I'm really good at that one. I thought you were going to say it's like Mario Party where everyone else picks the princess and I'm usually the Yoshi. So that makes sense to me.
Oh, see, I'm usually Yoshi, so we'd have to battle either way.
A lot of tension going on in this in this pod already.
I feel it.
I feel baby break the tension, as Kylie Minogue says.
People often say that, you know, Survivor's like poker, human chess or whatever, but I do think that Mario Party is the closest comparison game wise.
Currently at least.
Yeah,
in this new era. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I said this on, or I made a joke about it on Twitter, but I totally didn't catch Jeff saying this when I watched on Wednesday when he's like, you know, the game is basically the same as it was in season one. It's like,
I object. I would have raised my hand.
See, I had a different response to when I was rewatching and he said that. Because he said that like all last season on the podcast. I did not listen to this podcast this week for a myriad of reasons. But can you think of any TV show that is like unrecognizably different from how it was in season one? Like it's just that's how TV works. Like if it was so different, it would be a different show.
Yeah.
But why is he changing his tune? Because he's always like, we're always evolving the game, so it's never the same. Like, what are you saying?
We haven't changed at all.
We haven't actually changed at all. Like, you literally have done so many changes. You're changing it from, like, season to season, episode to episode. What are you talking about?
Does he mean it's the same as it was when they dropped the 4 and kept the 1? It's the same as season 41.
That's oh my god, everything pre-40 doesn't exist.
You're done. It's over.
I'm out. He has no... never mind.
I would say he's like RuPaul.
Gotta say it.
No, I was thinking about things we talked about before we started recording, which was that I saw Derek's engagement ring and apparently completely forgot that he had gotten engaged. And so that's Jeff with the new season. He's just like, I don't remember anything that's happened before this moment.
Oh my god. Well, it's more of a, I don't know. Jeff is a propagandist at heart. So it's like, he's just the master of the double thing.
State media.
Yeah. It's like we are fully new, but also we are exactly the same. He wants Survivor to be whatever you need it to be.
Yeah. And of course, I would expect nothing less. You know, he's the executive producer and the face of the show. So he's got to be selling. You know, that's the role. He's got to be like, it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened anywhere ever. But it's also nostalgically the exact same thing you remember from when we had 50 million viewers a week.
Right.
So true. Yeah, I mean, we did the huge ad campaign they did for the season, I guess, worked out because they we got a ratings bump, right? Yes.
We did.
Yeah. Four of us. Yeah. And yeah. Don't worry, we came away with a pretty penny from all of the advertising we did.
Yeah.
Marketing budget funneled directly to BJ Pod HQ.
They Those residuals, they're looking real good.
Oh my god. Yes, we're talking about 45. Gabby, what are your thoughts on the cast? You weren't here for our cast assessment, so what was your general sort of reading on this group going in, if you had any?
They were very young and very like white collar, I feel like, is what people were saying. So that is fun, and I fall into that category for sure, as do many of my friends. But it's like, you know, you want to watch Survivor because you want to see the truck driver. So we have, you know, we have a truck driver there, but you want to see people from different walks of life. So I don't know how I feel about the meta of like everyone is a super fan, which I know has been discussed a lot. But on the one hand, it makes things fun because they all understand the game, so they're at least not making like completely frustrating game halting, like momentum halting moves. But at the same time, you lose some of that randomness that comes with like goofy moves. And I mean, I'm sure you still see it play out because people will always overplay and things like that. But I can't blame them. I'm a super fan, and I feel like everyone that applies nowadays is a super fan. But it's just something to note. But they look really fun, and I think they were a mess in a great way.
Agreed. Although this episode feels like it flies in the face of my years-long criticism of there being too many superfans. I mean, if it was a cast of all superfans, I don't think we would have a quit today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle, I feel like that's been the big takeaway, is everyone is up in arms that someone quit Survivor.
Gabby, how do you feel about quitters?
I get it on like a human level. I get, and like Survivor is hard, and I feel like it's like, okay, yay that, you know, people were reminding people that it's a survival game and it is hard. I think for me, and this is, nobody should be mean to this poor woman Hannah online. Absolutely. Which I've heard is like, check yourself in somewhere, because that you're unwell. But it was the day two or day three, whatever day they now do the first tribal on, that was like funny to me, because I was like, sis, you were just at Ponderosa, like you just had breakfast like 3 days ago. Like sometimes when I take my ADHD medication, I forget to eat for a day. It's like, that's not good. I don't endorse that at all. But it's like, it's been 3 days. But good for her on the one hand for really knowing herself, and good for her from not taking the spots of somebody else on her tribe.
Yeah.
And the 400,000 men on Reddit that are mad that she took their spot. Good for her for taking their spot.
Yes.
But I'm just like, how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point where someone goes through all of this thing? And I don't doubt that she believed that she could do it, but that nowhere along the way, nowhere in Ponderosa, when you are waking up at weird hours, sleeping, you sleep in a tent outside, you're getting bitten by mosquitoes, you have all these sort of precursors to this thing of what the game should be, is similar to what the game is going to be like. And like at no point anybody, whether it's her or the producers that are there or the psychologists that are there, are like catching that this person is going to quit in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the main flaw in her casting was that she wasn't vetted by Adam Klein. I feel like if he had, no. There have been people going into the game with way worse seemingly preparedness for Survivor or whatever, and they didn't quit. So I feel like it's just an impossible thing to predict. I think that quitting is a unavoidable potential aspect of the game, and I think the episode was really, really good despite the ending. Like, I think that it was fine. I think the episode itself was fun, and Hannah is easily the person of those five people that I would want to have gone home. So like, it's kind of like, we won. She recognized that everyone else was more a better person for TV, wanted to be there more, and she saw herself out. It's like, I'm fine with that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's like they lost the challenge anyway, so someone was going home, and she fell on that sword. It would have been more frustrating if she was on some other tribe that had not had to lose a person, and then like we lost two people in one episode.
If she had lost immunity, I mean, if she had won immunity and she was like, I'm out.
I'm actually out.
Yeah, no, it's like obviously unfortunate that this happened, just because we would all rather see someone like play and like have some interesting vote play out. But I did, like, obviously casting should reflect on this, like, our, you know, what's happening here. Also, I didn't mind it that much because it was like, that was like a very human thing to be like, I'm here. Actually, no, I can't do this. Like, it was kind of in a way, like, really refreshing on us, especially in an era where everyone's talking about how strong they are and like how this game will transform them and like all this like big hype, you know, big talk about Survivor. And then for someone to get there and be like, you know what? I'm going to do what's best for me, and that's go home. And so I get why the show needs to like not promote that and not make that seem like a good thing. But like, you know, for one person out of the new era to do that, I'm not too concerned. It was just kind of funny and like very cool. She was real, you know, like why pretend that I want to be here when I don't? I thought it was kind of refreshing in a weird way.
Especially while they try to sell that the conditions are really bad. Like, I feel like this is good for the survivor ultimately. Derek, what were you going to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say on the second watch, she was like cracking me up just like throughout the episode. That was like the only thing that made me sad that she quit, is because now I don't get to see her like weeping about how she misses like her vape. Which is so funny.
It was so funny.
I am like, oh my God.
I did love that. Like, she's so self-aware and she's just like, I want to sleep in a bed tonight.
And Brandon's like, I don't know what to say.
He's stammering. He's like, well, you're fine. And she's like, I need to eat. I need to sleep. And he's like, you're okay. You're okay. But yeah, you know what? I feel like this convo has like turned me around a little bit. Like, I'm all for it now. And honestly, that was iconic. And that's her story. That's her story. That's how it went. And it's funny.
It is. Oh, and there have been like funny memes to come out of it too. Like, I think, what was the one? I was like 30 minutes into my shift and it's just like a picture of like Hannah's cast photo. It's like, yeah.
Is she the first person to quit since Lindsay in Cagayan, or is there someone else that I'm
for some reason I don't
removing from my memory?
Well, so it's been a long time. On my season, B left because she had injured herself.
Sure.
But I think she was also maybe not having the best time. Besides that, like, want to put words in her mouth, but it seemed like it was not too much skin off of her back to like leave. That she got recruited too, so it was maybe I shouldn't blame casting so much. It's more like, actually, from an entertainment point of view, I'm like, oh, that's fine. But I think people, it's like the alums that get all up in arms because it's their chance to be like, well, back in my day it was harder with this and this, which like it, you know, but it's, but so I feel like people have like a high amount of empathy for the like imaginary person that's taking her spot, or maybe not so imaginary if there's an alternate, but that alternate will get on in the future. And like, maybe she was not, that alternate was not meant to play with this cast. And like, maybe that alternate would have also gone home first because your team, the Lulu tribe, was a mess.
The Lulu losers, as Caleb calls them. And it's like, yeah, we saved... Honestly, that's a good way of thinking about it, Gabby. It's like, I think we saved some poor woman from being on this tribe. Which is not to say that, I mean, they were giving this episode, like, entertainment-wise, but it's like, clearly, the gel is not gelling with this tribe. And that's all the better for us as viewers, but not for them.
Gabby, would you rather be on a tribe that is, like, so strong in challenges that you really don't feel threatening, like, it going to tribal, like, at all? Or... would you rather be in like the Sean Sabaya, Caleb position and be like one of the only normal people. And like, clearly the target is on other people if you ever go to tribal.
No, as a viewer, I like the latter, but as a player, I want to be on the strong one that never goes to tribal because you need your numbers and you don't want the chance of going home.
Literally.
Especially that's when how it was when small.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I was with the Bro Chachos on my season. We had a swap and I was with like really strong dudes and we never went to tribal. And I was like, thank God, because I was probably the weakest. And I was like, I'm actually fine with this. I don't need to like be stressing about, because who knows, like they could lose again. And like, but the unreliable people on the tribe could do something like totally wonky. So you as the one normal person could actually go home.
It's true.
Fair. I feel like the normal people are gonna stick together if and when Lulu returns to meet Jeff.
Well, we'll see how normal they are, because they were all talking about how the aliens built the pyramids. So
yeah. I don't know. That was
so
a lot.
By that metric, Emily was the normal person. Okay, so
honestly.
She was like, they're built more like batteries than a tomb or something.
She's like, yeah, it's actually like it made more sense to like hold energy than to hold a corpse. That's what Sabaya said.
Yeah, like, there were no mummies in there. Like, yes, there were.
yeah, there were no mummies in there.
If you think about it, it made more sense that way, though.
Like, oh, okay. I mean, I feel like I fully sympathize with Emily in that moment where her phrasing was like, I have honestly not thought about the pyramids until this exact moment. Yeah. It's like a weird, I don't know. So yeah, I guess Emily is the normal one, but also not.
No, exactly.
No, yeah.
I think not.
Let's talk about Miss Emily.
Yes.
We love abrasion.
Yes.
We stand confrontation.
Yes.
Open insults, both in confessional and on mat. Truly no reason to go after Bruce at all in the opening. I do hope to, you know, she targeted all the black people, so that's like not an amazing optic view of Emily's first episode on Survivor. She leads a complicated legacy.
She's really asking a lot of us as viewers. It's like you want to stand me for like these reasons, but then you're like, wait, hold on, Emily, let's slow the roll a little. It's, oh my God. Yeah. Emily is just, but it's like, we need that. We need someone who's going to be a controversial figure in the show to create drama. I don't think that's so wrong.
Not at all. I mean,
even.
People have been hoping for a villain like this for years, and I feel like she's delivering. I do consider her a strong likelihood of the episode 2 vote out, but, you know, I think that she's serving while she's present.
Yes. I mean, she did say what was it, like she'd rather be the first person voted off, and no one's been voted off yet, so
that is a lot of why. Whoa. I think that's what happens.
She might get her wish, or she might win. That was the other phrase that she used.
That would be right. Oh my God, that be the most wild, like you know, edgic day of like Emily OTT N5 on the first episode.
Maybe they're just like fittingly giving her the Gabler edit of like really negative in the premiere. And then I don't know.
If Emily survives the next episode, the only thing that makes sense for her story is winning.
Yeah. Many such cases. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and she was inspired by Gabler winning to apply. So that would be really full circle.
That would be a lot, actually. Oh my God. I feel like we've really honed in on the Lulus, which is hard not to. I think we should talk about our boy Brandon.
Our boy Brandon.
I feel so bad for him. I've been there as a person of panic attack experience. That is tough. I'm glad he was able to laugh it off. and joke it off. And I mean, he doesn't seem like he's in a terrible position on the tribe. At least like Caleb is willing to work with him.
Caleb was also like, but I'm still considering voting Cap because he was horrible in challenges. I think I think he's in a bad position, but I don't think that there's like a soft landing in a like in a game of Survivor for Brandon. It just feels like, especially with the like, according to Hannah's exit interview, Brandon was like passed out on the boat for like an extended period of time that was like not in the episode. And so like, I just don't think that like with that kind of introduction to the entire cast, like I just don't know that there is like he will easily ingratiate. But I think that he's like doing well as he can socially given that start. But I think that he was at risk going into tribal, but thankfully Hannah was quitting and Emily was a bigger point of contention.
Agreed.
Yeah, Brandon always has the potential to kind of sell a comeback story if he can do well in these next couple challenges. His improvement will like seem really good if he does well in the next couple challenges, like could help him stand out. But again, it's gonna, those first impressions matter a lot. And even if he, you know, even if he like kicks it up a notch or two in the coming challenges, it's still going to be like he's playing catch up compared to the other players who had a softer landing, like you said, Sam.
Yeah, my question is like, what about the other? Is there anyone else really super strong? Like he was obviously bad in the ladder. He failed. I'm gonna listen. Full transparency, I'm friends with Brandon. And I have a question for you, Sean Edwards. Why didn't you help him up the ladder?
Yes.
Why did you run back to your mat? What was that about? Why didn't you tell him, hey, put your little foot over here and help grab his little hand? What's up with that? So I got my eye on you, Sean Edwards, because the only bad challenge moment he had besides that was like falling down the wall. And then Probst is like, you wanted Survivor? You got it. I was like, okay, shade from Jeff. But like everybody falls down that thing. So, you know, he's my friend. So I can say from a personal level, like he is one of the funniest, nicest people ever. And I feel like that came through in the episode as well as it could have in terms of like, he knew he sucked. He made jokes about it. And now we have to see whether the tribe is like, going to kind of go for that more social game of like, here's this guy who like you can see everything, he wears everything on his sleeve, so you could maybe work with him, or like if your team is really that bad and you need to save the challenge strength. But like, is Sean stronger than Brandon? Like even just by like height and sheer weight, like sometimes it is better to have a bigger guy there than even if they're not like the most athletic, because they can just like carry more or whatever. So that's my defense of my friend Brandon. And Sean, you seem like a lovely man, but help your teammates up ladders. Lulu tribe has never like heard of teamwork in their lives. Like they're so disorganized.
They were struggling. Sabaya and Caleb were doing okay with the logs, which was, oh my God, I don't even know where to start.
We could get into that. Yeah. Oh my
God. The sweat and savvy is just, that's just a challenge.
It's a normal challenge. They should have put this in. It should have just been an obstacle course.
Yeah. He was like, oh, you guys are tired of savvy or sweat? How about both at the same time?
Well, if they did a head-to-head, they could have had a coin flip or whatever, whichever team gets to choose, and they do different ones or something. It's like, you can force your teammate to do your other tribe to do whatever, and then still do the head-to-head, but have the, you know, the producers say, like, these events take around the same amount of time, but it depends on how good you are at it. Because they just did both, and then they both failed.
I mean, it's like, of course they failed, because it's like impossible to move 40 fucking logs in like how much time do they even have?
An hour, I think.
I didn't even realize there was an hourglass until like I was like, what do you mean they ran out of time? It was okay. Let me just say something. I looked up the solution to that savvy puzzle online afterwards. It's a puzzle. It's called, you can look it up. It's called like disentanglement or something. Yeah. I watched a YouTube video on it. It's hard. It's hard. And I'm somebody that when I grew up, I used to play those kinds of puzzles, like with the metal pieces and the ropes and you have to untie them. Like I played those all the time as a kid. And looking at this, I was like, you would have to come up with a very specific, like, it was formulaic almost. Like it was like, you have to know, you have to loop it in this sort of order. And in the heat of the moment, I don't think teams are going to get that unless you gave them like each an hour to do their task. And that was the only task they were focusing on. But it was way too hard. I was curious, like, if the dream team finished it, they must have. But like, it was, I'll give them, I will like give my puzzle blessing of like, that was a hard puzzle.
Absolutely. That's the kind of puzzle where if you come into it knowing how to do it, you can do it. But if you don't, it can take you like days to like even conceptualize what you're supposed to do to get past the first part. Like, it just isn't something you immediately know how to do, like building like a regular puzzle like they did in the normal challenge or like anything similar. It's like a whole different frame of mind to like even know what you're supposed to do with those ropes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it would have made more sense to like, the challenge should have been like, you choose between which one of you is going to do work on the savvy while the other does the sweat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if one of you isn't pulling their weight, then you both lose. Like, that is like, feels like a better way of, I don't know, making it feel less ridiculous that you're making these people move so much shit and then giving them like 10 minutes to figure out the most insane puzzle you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, and then they have like tiny little Brando carrying these logs that are bigger than him.
I know. He was honestly a trooper, though. He was trying. He was like shoving them. Yeah, Brando was cute.
The logs, they're clearly trying to recreate that Winners at War, mm-hmm. Edge of Extinction moment with like carrying the logs and Natalie Anderson Beast moment. But like, we don't need to revisit that.
No.
That was only kind of camp because it was like, the girlies we love doing it, but like, it's not good TV to watch people carry logs. I'm sorry. Like,
logs are not cinematic at all.
No.
They aren't even painted the colors of the tribe.
At least a full tree, like with the leaves.
Yeah.
It's something. A pop of color. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I feel like in the moment, I feel like they realize, especially like such a dire consequence. I feel like not having a machete is an insane punishment. Like, it should be enough that you don't have flint. Like, you literally cannot build a shelter, and it's like the fact that they get it after like immunity is like also weird, because they had to have like made like a makeshift shelter at that point, so now they have to like rip it all down and recreate a shelter.
I agree, but I'm also kind of like, why did they get it for losing immunity? They came back from the challenge with a pot and machete. It's like, I guess I get it when they like go to tribal and they get flint, it's like you get fire from like coming to this thing, but it was just kind of like, now you have it.
It doesn't make sense. They need to stop doing the thing where the bare minimum machete and flint are a prize. The things you should go to your camp with are literally just a machete and a flint, which by the way is still not a lot, and then have the sweat and savvy be like a pot and another machete or a knife or an axe or something. Like, have that be like one step up, or like a thing of rope. Like, it's just when I played, my tribe won the extra tools and stuff. You can't build a shelter. And then these super fans, they don't care about the survival aspect of it. So then they kind of don't build a shelter. They just all sleep in the dirt. All I've heard from new era players is they all just sleep in the sand. Mm. And like, because they all want to go look for idols, or they build like a shitty roof or whatever. And it's like, I'm sorry, I am a little old school in that way where it's Survivor. I want to see them do the thing of living in the jungle. And it's not fun for me to, if they don't have a machete and they can't do the bare necessities, it's not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby, you brought up the shitty roof. Can you weigh in on the palm frond weaving? Is it a waste of time? I feel like Franny maybe last season was like, we didn't do it. And then I feel like we talked about it a bunch, and now Bruce is bringing it to the canon of the show and saying it's a waste of time. And so the show's kind of like, maybe that is the truth. And what do you think?
It is the truth. The truth. It's a waste. Unless you're really good at it and we're doing like really tight and like thorough, the palm fronds aren't like amazing quality. So they're sort of fraying at the end. So you only get like so many inches of a tight weave anyway. And then you're overlaying them. There's holes in it anyway. And that is, he's exactly right. It's what we discovered as well. We just started doing like many, many layers of palm fronds, sort of like facing in the correct way so that, you know, like the water would trickle off of it. But yeah, I guess advice for futures, it's really a bonding thing. I think it's always been an excuse to just sit there and weave palm fronds.
I was gonna say it's like it's not useless because it always is the scene we get of the women coming together is over weaving palm fronds.
I was gonna say that as well. It is very much up until this season the women's work of the building camp stuff. But I do think that it probably is like. I mean, but then the critique is that like women stay in the camp and weave and men go out and look for logs or whatever and they find the idols. But if what they're now going to say, like, it actually doesn't matter if you sit there, like that's not helping at all. And so I feel like it'll encourage more women to re-enter the workforce and go get logs and look for idols themselves.
Totally.
I wonder if like previous locations, the palm fronds were more fitting. Candidates, is it the Fijian palm fronds that are just because like that for it to go on for this long at some point it had to have been useful, or was it just like something the production was like, you guys should weave some palm fronds, it looks cool.
It's like something that is like you see on other seasons, so you do, because I think they do like weave palm fronds there and it is native, because so women could probably go into the instead of looking for the mysterious bamboo that's lying on the floor nowhere near bamboo trees, you can actually find palm fronds that are either laying around or like sometimes there are fresh ones and you can chop those down and those are less crusty. But yeah, we need women to re-enter the workforce. But also it's like they're building a roof for what? Because like I said, they don't even have a structure because they don't have a machete. So
because there's no rain. But then they were also, I feel like Chanel said that they like didn't have a fire either, that they like never used fire too.
That so they just never did it?
I think so. She was like, yeah, after the first couple days, we just never had a fire. I think
the survival like element on this show has gotten out of hand. Like I feel like I played with a bunch of like old school, like, you know, the Davids were like these blue collar like dads. And I love that. Like, I'm like, come on, we're camping. We're what do you, like, what do they mean they didn't have a fire? Like, it's, but yeah, I mean, also probably people didn't have rain or so. I don't even know. I'm gonna stop.
And there's a lot less downtime now. Like on the 39 day cycle, you had a lot more time to like more. I mean, even as we were getting into the newer era in the 30s, there was more like little twists and stuff like Island of the Idols and like go to this place, go silent all the time, visits. But when you think back to like older seasons, there was more time you were just sitting around. It's like, well, if we don't have a fire, we might as well just make it. But like now in like the shorter format and like there's all these things, someone's got to go do this and then you're being pulled to confessional and then okay, we have to go to the challenge. Like I wonder if there's just also like less time to like fiddle around and like figure these things out.
You know what I just realized? It's because they don't get rice.
It's like, what are we going to use this for?
Yeah, why are they just going to eat coconut? And but like, I just give them rice. I don't care about the 26th day and the not giving them things. Just give them the things. Literally, I don't care.
It's like, I don't, like we always say, it's like, this is actively leading to less entertaining television. Like, it's not like this is making for better TV, because it's like if everyone's starving, no one's gonna like actually be willing to scheme because you're too busy like withering away on the ground. Like it just doesn't make sense.
It's just not something that translates to TV, not giving them stuff. It's just it's okay, they don't have it. And now I feel like giving the food to people has been one of the biggest sources of conflict in the show's history. Like, I feel like they're always talking about, like, that person got more food than me. Like, this isn't good. Like, they burned the food, that kind of stuff. Like, that is a potential for conflict. Whereas this, they're just, like, not eating. And so they're not able to even, like, have something come up in the creation of the food.
Let me say one more thing about it, is it's the inconsistent storytelling, because the thing of you are marooned on an island or whatever, you can be marooned with a machete and a foot, like those things have typically been, you know, oh, go get all the equipment you might need or whatever. So that should be a part of it. Okay, so then we're living in this world where you're marooned, but you don't bring a knife. And yet you have 17 clothes changes. Back in my my day. They have so many more clothes than before. So make it make sense, because they don't have rice, machete, or flint, but they like each have three full outfits. Like, that doesn't make sense from a storytelling perspective.
I understand what you're saying, but I love that they have a bunch of different outfits.
Oh, same. I love the looks. I'm jealous.
And wait, now I'm thinking about how many clothes they have, because something I was thinking about this episode was like, it feels like every first challenge or first episode in the new era, they have some big mud thing so that they start off getting really dirty. But since they have clothes to change into, it won't necessarily have the long-term effects that perhaps Survivor is hoping for, since they'll just be able to put on the clean clothes that they didn't jump into mud with.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like
there's no queen... long-term storytelling potential for mud anymore.
Yeah. Where's the mud-based storytelling? We need it. I mean, that was used to be a fun thing, watching everyone like dig the mud out of their hair in the water together and like talk strategy.
Yeah, I love that though, because when they got back to camp, Caleb was like, can we go wash off before we do serious strategizing?
Very relatable. It's like when I get home, I like have to instantly be in like comfy clothes, or else I like can't function at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Lulu a lot.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about? Well, we have Bello, and it feels sacrilegious that like Reba of all tribes feels like the least popping.
She's not giving.
It's like, what happened? Like, they really are relying on the name to like carry the entertainment value of their tribe.
Yeah, Reba was primarily Austin focused.
And Sifu.
And Sifu, right? I forgot.
Oh yeah.
Which was like fine. I feel like they're like, they recognize, I mean, they didn't have Bruce and they didn't go to tribal and they didn't, so like I feel like they sort of had to be
they didn't have Bruce.
That is yeah, why Bello is young. That girl. True.
Which tribe are you? The one that went to tribal, the one that had Bruce, or other?
Yeah, we couple. Normal couple.
A secret third thing.
Yeah, so let's talk about Reba and then we'll talk about Bello, I guess. Yeah, I mean, Austin and Jay Maya were linking. Okay. Jeff Probst said in an interview that there was going to be a showmance coming up on this season also.
What?
And I was hoping we could speculate wildly about who that was going to be.
Oh my god, I didn't
know
that.
It was actually Drew and Jay Maya, not Austin and Jay Maya. I got them confused. But,
friendship.
They were talking about how they grew up nerdy and isolated because of their, like, geekiness or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I remember this. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to say the showmance is Sifu and Austin, since they're the stars of the tribe. I would love to see it. I feel like they would work well together.
Sifu and his spy nest. That's the showmance.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's Sifu and D. It's like rivals to lovers, you know, like that. I could see that happening.
Is it on that tribe, or that's just speculating?
No, it's just speculating. It could be any tribe. We don't have any information.
Jeff really said that?
Yeah, I actually haven't looked up the article. My boyfriend classic told me that he said that, so I haven't really confirmed
it. I only read the headline.
That's kind of wild to me if that's the, because if they made such a big deal out of it for like Matt and Franny, like they're like, oh my god, there's gonna be a showmance this year, you guys, and then so that's weird that they're like kind of burying the lead. It must not
go
somewhere.
Okay, in Jeff's GQ interview. He says there's a couple on this season, like a couple of showmances.
Wait, you don't think he doesn't mean that there is a couple?
No, I don't know. I can't tell. And Brobes told me there is a couple. So people have been clamoring for a hot and steamy romance, and Brobes told me there is a couple on the new season. So it's hard to tell if it's a couple of showmances.
No, I think it means there's a couple that forms.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
But okay, I'm literally, no offense to these lovely people, I'm looking at these tribes and I'm like, I don't feel like I see any chemistry. Well, when you said Drew and Jay Maya, were you implying something there? Because I'd like to say no.
Well, I just think that they are, they're close in age, and duo. They were shown as like connecting. And so I just think that that's one of the only things coming to mind.
Well, I think there's about a 0% chance of that happening. 0.0.
Why? They're one of the only potential matchups.
You put forward a candidate, Gabby.
Okay. I'm looking at people with similar ages. Austin and Dee. I just feel like Drew is not going to be the type to have a showman. He's like a game bot. Austin is like the hunky guy out there.
But Gabby, you're thinking of Drew and not Basile. Drew is the nerdy guy. Basile has his arm around you at the frat party.
No, I would not want Basile's arm around me at the frat party. I would not want that at all.
And also, what a weird, like, that's not even a last name that anyone would ever say. Like, hey, Basile. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
I don't like that he got that. I thought the first name, last name thing was like a high honor in Survivors. What Jeff's said before to the Rick Devons of the world. And now we're getting Drew talking about his two personalities. I don't know about that. I'm going to go with Austin and someone else hot, which could be from his tribe or could be, they have a switch up and I think there might be some lesbians, so maybe not.
Kelly has a fiance.
.. lesbians.
We didn't even think about lesbians. The lesbians are in relationships. So
yeah, that's what I did think about them, but I think that enough of them are in relationships that it would be very unlikely.
Okay. Unless Kelly, it's a Whitney Keith situation. Both have partners.
Okay, so, okay.
Keturah, and so she's just queer, so I don't know if she could go, there could be many directions we could go there.
Totally. And Kendra talked about astrology, so for me there's a question mark there.
She's coded.
It's coded. So,
we need to talk about Kendra.
We need to.
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say before we move on to the Kendra, it's like, why are we all acting like we didn't watch The Ultimate of Queer Love? Who says partnered lesbians can't also have a really toxic tryst on an island?
I'd love it.
I like what you think.
You know, if they want to Jared Field about on national TV, they can feel free.
I would, yeah.
No, I don't wish that for them. I don't wish that for them at all.
I'm just saying, it's like, let's not rule it out. But yes, you're Kendra, right. It's like, what an instant star, to use maybe a word she would like. She is just amazing. Thank you. Well, I thought that was funny. Such a Virgo, I love what she was putting down, making these, these connections with the other September girlies. Like, I'm already obsessed with them.
I thought she was really fun in a much more controlled way than I was expecting from the preseason. Like, I felt like she was going to be like this complete whack person or whatever, but I felt like she was very like in control and like game aware in the camp scenes but like still being very, very fun and entertaining. So I was very impressed and think that she's great.
Yeah, I think it was a really great draw for her with that tribe of the three girlies, let alone like the Libra connection. But like, I these are the type of women that I root for. They're women who are a little older. Keturah, Kelly, and Kendra,
a little older.
No,
what is this panel?
Stop! I'm 30 years old. I'm in the same age range as them. By the way,
I'm very heavy Tiffany right now.
I'm looking at the No, I don't mean older than me, but like older than this cast. They're not 22.
Literally.
This is a positive thing. I've never felt better about myself than currently, right now in my age at 30. Yes. I'm like, this is the coolest age I've ever been. I'm getting better with every year, and I feel like these women are too. Mm-hmm. I have one little funny whatever thing to say, though, is I'm looking at the cast list, and Keturah's age says 34.
Yes.
So,
yes, she lied. Own
thing? Did she lie?
Yeah. She retweeted. Someone pointed out that she lied, and she retweeted, being like, she, like, no one, like, yeah.
Wait, what's her actual age?
She's 34. Yeah. But when Kendra, I think, said she's 29. I think Kelly said she's 29. And
Kelly
was
said 29.
Like, me too.
Queen.
That is so clever. Honestly, really, really clever. And I liked her from preseason, Keturah. And she, mm-hmm. I loved her this episode too. But what I wanted to say about the older women. But these are the women that I do root for. Like, now mm-hmm. that I'm of this age, I'm like, I can't believe I played when I was 25. I don't recommend to anyone to play before you are like 28 or something, because I feel like we're so much more grounded. I have some faith that they can actually work together. I love that mm-hmm. they were getting together. I loved it so much. I'm rooting for the girlies.
Something yes. that really made me, just while we're on the age thing, Kendra, when she talks about her age, she does this, it's the most specific face in the world, but everybody does it. Like, she talks about, she's like, she just like finds strength within herself in order to reveal that she's 30. She's like, and I'm 30. You know, it's a learning moment for me for 5 months from now when I have to do the same thing.
You are like that when you first turn 30, but as someone who's 30 and a half now, so I've got a bit of experience under my belt.
Yeah. A 30 experience.
Yeah. I'm really proud of it. And actually the thing that throws you off when you are 30 is people reacting to you being 30. I was at the bars yesterday and like somebody asked how old I was and I said I'm 30 and they were like, "You're 30?" The story multiple times because it happens to me about once a month. It's a different story that I'm telling every time because it happens that often, where it's like, what do you as a human being have as a concept of what a human woman looks like at the yes. age of 30? Like, and like 30 is legitimately so young. And now I'm looking at the like 22 year olds on this cast and I'm like, you're a baby, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, Drew.
You just got out of high school. You just came out of the womb. It's too soon. We need to put you on adult food first. No, that's really condescending. But seriously, when you are 24, you are young. You are very young, mm-hmm. and you think that you are old, but you are young. And then they get so scared of turning 25, and it's like, you are 25. Your brain isn't even fully developed yet. It's just now happening. So calm down.
I agree on all fronts. Being 30 is fantastic. And I hope it proves to be a boon for all three of them. I feel like it will, because they, like you said, they all seem really smart. They all seem genuinely willing to work together. Keturah, especially, I'm just like obsessed mm-hmm. with already. That's I knew awesome. I would be anyway. Like, her preseason stuff was great. And she is just, oh my God, the scene where she's talking to Jake, it was like, I was crying laughing.
Like, so good. Her narration was great. Oh,
yeah, the
I
hair,
love
like her pushing up her mm-hmm. hair and being like, so what's it like being a lawyer? I'm like never around any lawyers. It's like, so you could just tell she was having a lot of fun doing it. And like, yeah, I'm the Bello tribe is like those are my girls. I'm obsessed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Because usually I'm very, I mean, obviously we love a mess. And you'd like, and I do like the Lulu tribe a lot, but all six of the people in the Bello tribe are really fun so far. And Keturah was my preseason winner pick, and I think nice. That she was so fun in this episode from the start and all throughout. Like, she has the second confessional and she's like, I'm here to play. Like, I know I can't talk about being a lawyer. There's a fun scene with Jake and she's connecting with the girls. It's like, that is as good of a premiere as I can hope for from a preseason fave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Keturah came out like a real, I mean, potential to be a really strong player on this season. Like, I mean, this tribe, I just don't see them losing.
Literally.
Like, it's, I mean, especially with our yellow friends over there, it just doesn't look like they're going to have any problems anytime soon. So if Keturah is able to really solidify this alliance, I mean, I could see, I know we don't want to be like Women's Alliance, it's finally going to work out again, but like, this seems like the one.
Of course we're doing that. If anyone's going to put that curse out into the world, like, it's going to be this group of people.
Well, this feels like the truth. Like, they were like fresh off of 43, so it's like clearly fresh in like Kendra's mind, definitely fresh in Emily's mind. Like, mm-hmm. they're very conscious, like, this is fucked up when we don't, that's not our season. We're not letting that happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I like about them being older, is because the older you are, the more self-assured you are, and you're not intimidated by other women. Because I feel like often the women's alliance falls apart because they start feeling like, well, that woman's stronger than me and I have to now turn on her. But they all seem pretty like self-assured, unless like the stars start speaking to Kendra or something. And she's in, oh my God, that would be bad. She's,
Well, Gabby, I'm happy to tell you that prior to the game, she memorized every astrological event that was going to take place during the game that she was going to play. And so I think she has that, she's already aware of anything that would come up. And so I don't think she'd be forming this strong bond if she was worried about any sort of retrograde coming and messing things up.
Thank God.
Like, she has a conflict. She's like, Mercury's in retrograde. I can't trust this. I need to like... Mm-hmm. Just trust my heart. I feel like she's not going to let that happen.
Oh,
it's
so
day 12. Pluto is in Venus. And now I know it's my time to flip on Kelly.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it'll actually give her more like, and she can talk to her tribe mates. Like she'll be like, I know we're going through a rough time right now, but it's because like Mercury's in retrograde.
Mm-hmm. It's always,
so we need to stick together. Yeah. Like don't trust like Mercury's feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an Aries full moon the other day.
It was.
And I am an Aries. I'm actually a triple Aries, as my PJ. See, okay, I'm not the only one that forgets key information. I've told you guys this before when you've done Avatar podcast.
Yeah.
And
I think
Christine's innocent, but it's okay to sometimes forget when your friends get engaged because
they haven't seen their finger. You're a triple Aries.
You haven't seen their ring finger in a while and you forget that your friend's engaged. Anyway, okay. Sorry, very off topic.
Well, we need to talk about the biggest shock of the episode upon reading some exit press, which is that Kendra was at the Lulu camp and went to their tribal. Kendra was like on the jury bench at the Lulu tribal, and they edited that out completely.
And she was like involved in the strategizing, like.
And she Kendra cast a vote.
Kendra and Emily have spoken, and we didn't see it.
Yeah, that's so unfair.
It's like I don't get like. I mean, it's a like I'm really intrigued to see the twist play out on television. I really don't understand why they didn't show it here. It seems like. How are they going to edit it around the fact that Kendra has like met and or like the entire Lulu tribe before and like saw their dynamics?
Maybe she never meets them again.
You
know, it's when they do stuff like this and we find out later that these things occurred and they were edited out. It's like, okay, that must not be important to the season. Like whatever conversation she had didn't matter. Someone doesn't matter in this equation. Like, I don't think it's like getting into edric or spoilers to talk about that. It's just true. When they edit out these major game events, you're like, okay, that didn't matter. Cause if it did matter, they would have found a way to include it.
Right.
This is the only reason to be mad at Hannah Rose, because if she hadn't quit, we probably would have seen it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because then we would have seen votes. Yeah. I mean, that's still just wild to me that they would deprive us of this. I don't get it, especially with the longer runtime. I don't know.
I hope that this is a pre-merge long twist. Like, I think this is really fun and a cool way to do swaps if they don't want to do swaps for whatever reason. I think that this is like it's random and like kind of like hard to play around, but I think that this is way better than like another idol or something. Like put a seventh person on the beach who can't be voted for. It's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Not to be the nerd who talks about orgs, but in one season of my org, we did an X-Files season and we did like abductions like this. And it was super fun because like even if people like it doesn't impact the game, you get to see like people interact and like cause chaos and stuff. And like, it's fun. Yeah. Like, it's like there's a lot of room for this. And it's like a bummer that they didn't take the time to show it, even though
it's a really cool way to like either prove trust or create betrayals pre-merge so that the merge is a lot more like explosive, because you're like, this girl told me she was going to vote for Brandon and then she voted for Emily or whatever. And it's like, how does that affect us going forward?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and they didn't know that she would have a vote too, which I'm just curious about the logistics of how it would play out when the votes were read. So if it is in a later twist, I guess we'll see it again. Yeah. But then that'll also be funny because it's like, did you guys just decide to start doing this now? Like where they didn't show the last one. But yeah, we love you, Kendra. We want to see more of you.
Exactly. Like that to me is the biggest takeaway. It's like, why are they doing this to us? What did we do to hurt you, Survivor? that you don't want us to see more Kendra. That's so rude. Yeah, I hope they do it again. Because it, like you said, it seems like a fun twist that doesn't seem like game breaking. I don't know. Could be cute.
Yeah.
Agreed. Gabby, what did you think about Bruce? You were on a season where the first person was medically evacuated. Haven't seen Pat back on the show, but
wild.
You know, he was perfectly slated to be one of the coaches on season 38, but you know, he hasn't returned. But here he is, Bruce. Thoughts on Bruce?
What a wacky guy. What a silly goose.
I know. I'm like, oh, when you were concussed. Okay, now I see the difference.
You think his personality changed? Yeah, you know what? Emily Flippin made some points, because Bruce does have an advantage, not because he played one day of Survivor, but because he is friends with the entire cast of his season, who did play the entire game and who can give him advice. Mm-hmm. And obviously they seem to have given him some advice of like, okay, don't call yourself dad, because when you did that on our tribe, it made us feel this way. So do these other things. But it's also just like, it's too transparent that obviously his tribe caught onto it as well, right? But you know what? He did speak facts with the palm fronds. So there we go.
Yeah, they hated him for speaking the truth.
Yeah. I think that I feel like the main issue is that he's trying to be like, I don't know anything, but actually also here's all this advice. If he had been like, this is what I've learned, like this is, and not trying to play like both sides or whatever, where he's just like,
yeah,
this is the information I have. Like, that's a waste of time. Let's do something else. But instead he's like, I'm following. I'm the crazy drunk Uncle Bruce. I think that he's so fun. It's so clear that he was concussed in season 44. Like, he was not like this at all.
You cannot say that.
I feel like he was so much more like low key on 44 after it happened.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
he's not concussed.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like.
Oh, like, I see what you mean. No, the reason he was so low energy,
much lower energy
in 44 was because he was concussed. I also thought, Gabby, that you were saying it changed his personality.
No. Oh my God, no, that's not what I meant at all.
Same. No, we're saying that it's like, oh God, he really was concussed.
I was ready to cancel you guys.
Low key. I get it. And I'm like, oh, this is what Bruce is actually like.
We didn't see the true Bruce.
Yes. What the hell? You thought I was saying, wow, he really got knocked in the head.
He really bonked his head pretty hard there.
He changed
his personality permanently.
No. I don't think life operates on Flintstones rules. I don't.
No.
We actually just got an Instagram message.
Yes, I saw that.
From Buff_collector with the Australian Survivor Kelly photograph icon. Question for all of you: do you think Jeff and his team designed the first challenge to traumatize Bruce a little bit with mud and overhead beams and all that stuff? And I think,
why?
It's kind of fucked up.
Christian Yubicki texted me in the middle of this episode and said his partner, Emily, said the best joke of the season so far was Jeff saying during the challenge, keep your head down.
Oh, like Jeff, he's like such a little troll sometimes.
Why did they have that overhead thing? Like, what? That was so...
It was to purely be lesson? Like... No, I think they did, and they just wanted to have that moment of Bruce like overcoming or undercoming it, I guess, since you're going under it.
They had a grate on like some place where they definitely didn't need a grate. Like, I wanted to say it was like when they were crawling up the thing that they then slid down. And I was like, you're actually putting in too many head grates now. Like, you're doing it in places where you don't need to do it.
There's gonna be a head grate over a vertical wall next challenge.
Every single challenge, like every puzzle, there's gonna be a grate above your head. Yeah.
It's the only second chance story they have this season, and you know they did it.
They really honed in.
Julie has a second chance story.
Yes, we did get to hear about
that.
She won't
let us
forget
it in her preseason press. She got her second chance.
Christine, you're really calling me out on stuff I'm not even saying.
listen, Gabby and I are just on our toes. We're just making sure we're keeping this podcast in the right place. Do not forget Julie.
Never.
Don't.
Never.
I loved I her never. Little thing. I think yeah. she might be my chosen delusion for the season, where like Ooh. She is
love it.
I think she could win because I always
older woman. We need it.
I every season I have a delusion. I had it with Julie actually from the whatever Edge of Extinction. I had it with Tiffany. Every mm-hmm. season I yeah. choose an older woman to be delusional about, and this season it will be Julie. She had a good confessional. She's a lawyer. I feel like she got like just the right amount of, oh, she was here, but you don't really know who she is. And I just love to have a delusion every season.
I think that if you're looking for older women, you're kind of forced into the singular option for this season.
I know. Well, and I shouldn't say it's not a delusion because I think that older women couldn't work, but it's because like the way that, or couldn't win, I mean, the way that they're edited is so like, it's as if they make you think that she can't win. And I'm seeing all the reasons where I'm like, well, actually what she's doing is genius. So that's like, that's where my delusion comes from. Not from like the fact that she's an older woman, to be clear.
Julie's like whole thing of like lying about her profession, she's one of those people who could actually pull it off. I don't yeah. think people will yeah. like, especially since she did have a career, a completely different career until very recently. She's not someone who will like get caught up in a lie very easily, because like she's actually been an art teacher for a really long time. I think that's something she might still do. No, Julie, she's on my Inside Survivor draft team. I nice. Like Gabby, I always latch on to the dream of another quote-unquote older woman winning. You know,
pretty old woman.
Tiffany train. Tiffany's gonna come back for second chances and win it all. And you know, I believe Julie can do it.
Yeah, I feel like she's in a good position. We talked about this preseason. I feel like she's gonna integrate herself well with the younger crew because her children are that age, I think we figured out. And yeah, that's an easy lie to keep up if it's like not even really a lie. Like you did do that. So I'm very excited for her. I would be more than happy to join your delusion.
Great.
I'm standing. We love single mom, worked two jobs, being a student is a job. You know,
she and being a mom is a job.
So true. Three jobs, really showing Reba what's what. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the Reba tribe? I feel like really not too much. We haven't discussed Sifu yet. Okay, really fun stuff. I loved mm-hmm. him just running around playing. I like that he was like, I'm being like Tony, and then like the next thing is D being like, I think he's trying to be like Tony. Not even hiding his like intent. And he's like running around in the woods. Fun stuff.
Yeah, he's a fun character. And I just loved that dynamic between him and like the women, like when the women were like running at him, like we see you, was really cute. I liked, yeah, it's like the Reba tribe is there. It's just like we didn't get to see much of it or something. Yeah. I don't know, which makes me sad.
Yeah. Sifu is like I feel like he's an anime character, like come to mm-hmm. life.
So I think that's what his goal is to be.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he and Davey would be friends because that's the vibe that it was giving me. Was like running around, hiding, like doing. Well, when I thought Davey was doing Taekwondo, but he was actually just twirling a cane and and like just these like goofy guys that. I don't know if Sifu likes anime, but I'm going to say he's like an anime character.
I believe that his family visit that he hoped for from a fictional character was Goku. So
I did read that. Yes. And that's the vibe that he gives off. Oh my God. He and Davey need to become best friends. That's so funny.
Oh, I hope that for both of them. That would be really cute. Yes, so that's Reba. We talked about Bella. Well, we haven't talked about Jay cocaine
or Brando enough.
Yeah. Jake was like really I don't know, Jake just like was cracking me up this whole episode. I think it's just his voice. I don't know why. It mm-hmm. just makes me giggle. He said
Danielle DiLorenzo effect.
Yeah. We already got one wicked smot, which is like perfect.
Love it.
He's literally one of his 30,000 articles of clothing is like this black tank top that just says Boston and then it has like the clover on it. Like he's like the character is selling itself.
Yes, it's fully formed.
I really like him. He's my winner pick, like officially, even though
yeah,
I would actually I feel like oh it is. I feel like the winner's on the blue tribe. I don't know. It's either one of the girls or Jake yeah. or Julie.
Or Bruce.
I don't think I'm on the Bruce train.
I thought you were just naming everyone on the Blue Tribe.
Julie's on Reba.
Yes.
No, I think it's Jake or the girls from Blue or Julie. And that's just my random thing that I think. So it probably won't happen.
I agree. I feel like Bella just like feels really strong physically, like we said. And I feel like that only is a good thing. Like Erica's tribe never going to tribal is kind of like how she was in a great position to just like go through to the end. Michelle like went to zero like pre-merge tribals, like that worked out well for her. It's like it's only a good thing to not go to tribal, honestly.
It is. Survivor's a numbers game, as often as we forget it and think that it is a numbers game.
And I haven't thought about this almost at all, but I feel like you either really want to go to no tribal councils or every tribal council, like you, because the every tribal council is like, these are my people, like we've worked together a lot, like this is we're down to like two people, or like you just want to like the comfort of not going at all. But I feel like if you will go to tribal once, you're like there's been someone lied to, like they've like. Disliked each other, there's like warring factions on the tribe and they haven't had the time to like deal with it all. So I feel like, and that, you know what, this isn't probably true, but you know, who knows. I haven't really thought through every single season like I could right now. Let's see, Pagong, let's go.
let's go in order.
Yeah,
that feels right to me though.
Feels right,
yeah,
because like Uwa going with the 41 example, like it's just the two of them and they were like really tight but also not very threatening to like the majority numbers, and that's what happened with Tika also.
Yeah, I feel like Tika is the best recent example of that for sure.
Yeah, but then it's like I feel like it'll come in cycles because now Tika, well I don't know, they don't know anything about 44, do they?
Well, Bruce does.
He's not part of it.
Well,
They saw through the episode before the Matt boot, I think, is what I heard.
Yeah. So maybe Bruce will have his like ears like open for any sort of like people trying to be in the middle. But I feel like, I don't know, that's like, you would have to be really specifically like, okay, this is how Jam Jam won, so I'm not going to let that happen this time. And I don't think that's how Bruce is thinking. That would be a lot to think about.
Oh, so yeah, I'm putting the timeline together. So Bruce probably knew the outcome of his season because he was on the season, he's talked to people, he knows the winner, but the cast hadn't seen the end of that season.
Yes, I think.
Interesting.
But yeah, I don't know if like that's the takeaway Bruce would have, is like, don't let people ride in the middle and win.
I probably not, but I do feel like Rob Cesternino is always like, people come back to their next season with some of the like energy or gameplay of their winner of their first season, and it does feel like he's much closer to Jam Jam now than he was in the like preseason of 44.
That's true.
Is it because he got a concussion, his personality changed?
Oh my god, yeah, he bonked his head cartoonishly, burst around his head, and then he became a different person.
I think going high-pitched voice and saying bitch on day one is
funny. I was like, it's like, Bruce, I didn't know you had that in you. That was really funny. He's like, I know. And the preview for next time on Survivor, I'm so excited for whatever is going on there.
People forget that he before he left on 44, his closest ally was apparently Carolyn. So there's something in him that we didn't get to see, and I'm glad we're seeing it. I'd love to see Bruce. I mean, I just don't think this tribe's going to tribal, so I'm not worried about Bruce right now. I would love to see, like, him and Kendra would be a very funny duo. Oh. I want her to stay with the girlies, but I'd love if Bruce like tags on with the girlies.
Well, that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
Bruce is getting his
wish.
Fingers
crossed that happens.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this Blue Tribe. And this was a really good premiere. I think I texted you guys this before. Like, it's hard to edit around a quit like that, like to make that seem exciting, especially when you like kind of like that's all she talked about was like, I'm gonna quit. So it's like the outcome was a little predictable. It's hard to edit around that. Otherwise though, I really like this premiere a lot. Very little advantage talk there. We only had one Beware advantage show up, and it was in one scene
and no flashback packages, like talking about their backstories. Like that is not interesting because it doesn't reflect anything about the tribe dynamics. Everything we learned about these people was in relation to like what they're experiencing on the island and how they're responding to the other people on the show. And that is what is good about Survivor. And so they finally doing that.
Agreed.
I agree. Yeah, it's much better. It's a lot less like America's Got Talent vibes, which the thing before was like, I could get that maybe later on in this season when you're attached to like the final eight or so. But I agree with you.
Yeah. So
yeah, I was just gonna say, the one time in the new era I really enjoyed that was when they revealed the Lindsay football player in high school late into the game. Like that was like in 42. That was a fun like use of that, like just kind of like throwing in the surprise backstory. But it's always better to just learn who these people are through conflict and through conversations. And so I'm glad they've kind of pulled back on it. Like again, there's times it could be fun, but it just got so many people complained about it. And we don't need to keep relitigating it, but I was really happy to see that seems to have gone the way of the do or die twist.
And I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like, honestly, this might be, I mean, I would have to, I guess, go back and rewatch, but this might be my favorite, like, new era, like, premiere episode for that reason, because it just feels a little more old school. We got to learn more about them. I know, I'm pretty sure all of them have been 90 minutes as well, but I don't know. I'm just very excited for this season. I think we've got a good one on our hands.
Yeah. And some people are being so fucking dramatic about the casting on this season, being like, this person quit. This whole cast sucks. Someone has heartburn. Wow, did they get cast? It's like, fuck. Like, there's some really, like, we love drastic takes. I love to take a side. But, like, it's the first episode. And I think it was a great first episode.
Yeah.
Seeing a lot of like very reactionary responses, even on Twitter to like, I mean, but like, no, it's like these kind of things I'm used to seeing on Reddit, but like Twitter's like in general, like higher on this premiere than I've seen other places, but it's just like, it's the first fucking episode.
Yeah. And don't they want interesting things to happen, such as someone getting heartburn? To me, that's interesting.
That was like very human and like, oh my god, that's something a lot of us could experience if we go out there. If anyone has any chronic health condition, no matter how small or severe, like if you go out there, it's gonna bother you, like because you're under like stress and like out of your element. That was like so real. And it's like people are like, how did they like let this guy get cast? And it's like, if you got cast, you'd have some shit that was bothering you. Like it's just so people say they want like casting to be more real. They want to like you know, people I see people talking about they're tired of all these sob stories, but this is fucking real. Like
people are criticizing these people, the cast, but it's like, this is not the worst cast of the new era, and it's also not the second worst cast of the new era. Like this is a fun group of people, and I feel like they did a great job in the first episode.
Agreed. Yes. Yay, good job, 45ers. Good job, you slayed. Yeah, it's like people talk such a big game, like, oh, we need a new Gabon. Like, I love all the quirky seasons. And then it's like, when a real quirky season comes at you, then you react like this. It's like, people just, like, don't know what they want. Everyone's, like, reactionary is a great word for it. It's like, people suck. Reddit especially sucks. Just, ugh. Disgusting.
Derek, you talk about hating Reddit every single episode of this podcast.
Because they're so horrible, and I look at it like
it's so bad right now.
People are like so genuinely furious at Brandon even like existing on this show that it's like kind of like it's scary.
It's really fucked.
It's like, not okay.
Oh my god.
And it's okay. I don't get it.
The Brandon Defender has logged on. I'm going to go on our Survivor and reply to every single comment.
Yes. It's like, but it's not okay.
It's jealousy. It reeks of jealousy.
It reeks of jealousy. You're just not interesting enough to be cast. I actually, if people want a real taste of how like the stuff online affects people, like I said before, Brandon is my friend and he, like other survivors, are tempted to like go look at the comments. Obviously they're mean. They hurt his feelings. He talks to me. I'm telling him all of the alum things of, you know, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. It's to the level where, like, I asked, like, he's thinking of, like, not looking at anything online. And I was like, I'll just, like, send you nice ones if you want. But, like, think about that if you're listening to that. Like, this person, he was a Redditor, too. Like, he was he's a fan of Survivor just like any of you. And now you're making it feel like this person, like, can't even look at these things. And it's not to say you're not allowed to like talk about people. Like, I know that that's what the forum is for, but like, if people just kind of want a reality check of like, that this is a Redditor just like you, it's just, it's other fans that you're being so, so mean to. So he'd probably be embarrassed that I was saying this, Brandon. Like, he did not tell me to say this. I feel like I'm being an embarrassing older sister or mom or something. But I just think it's good for people to like hear about that. Like, it's been his dream forever. And I'm saying him as like an example, but it's all of these people. So not to be the hugest cornball on earth. Like, I also love being a hater, but just like chill it a little bit, jealous dweebs.
Exactly.
Be normal. Just be a little normal.
Right. Same with Hannah. Like, I felt like it's like at the like when I finished rewatching the episode, her like first thing she says is like, I hope people don't hate me too much. And she's like, the first thing she thinks of after quitting is like, people are gonna like be so awful to her. And it's like, people are like trying to get her fired from her job. It's like, grow up.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like within the communities, as long as you're not tagging these people, it's kind of like, I'm sort of on the side of like, say whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter if it's you're fair, like yeah. posting hashtag survivor, like, I hate this person. It's like, that's not great, but I'm kind of like, you're not sending it to those people. And if you're on the show and you're looking at the tag, it's like, you're going to see people commenting on the show. Mm-hmm. But I think it crosses the line where you're like negatively reviewing their business, obviously, or like sending them messages despite her deactivating all of her social media. They're still like sending her bad stuff. That's or whatever wild. Messed up. Yeah, I mean, I think that insular communities have a tendency to become a cesspool of echo chamber, same opinion, hatred, amplifying the most extreme viewpoints, of course, but I don't think that is necessarily bad overall if they're like, I don't like quitters, hate this person for quitting. It's like, that's not an opinion I have, but I'm kind of like, sure, just say that.
Right, it's like, if you can have a problem with quitting and quitters, but it's like, does that require you to like, yeah, like go the extra mile? You're like taking time out of your day to just like make someone's life worse because they were on a TV show that you love and then they went away.
Like, yeah,
is that really the most upsetting thing that someone can do to you on a personal level? It's like, get a life, literally.
Yeah, and you're very right, Sam. My advice to him and all Survivor players is like, don't look up your name online. It's never going to be good. Because you're right, people should have a place where they can like talk about the people on the show, and it might not always be positive. So you have to shield yourself a bit.
Here's what you do. You search hashtag Survivor, but you've muted your own name.
Ooh. So you can see all the bad things they're saying about your friends.
Exactly. You're in the commentary, but nothing related to your presence on the show. Thoughts?
Wow.
You cracked the code.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I told him, like, I'll just curate memes for you if you want.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. So I hope Brandon's doing okay. I hope Hannah's doing okay. I hope everyone just, like, fucking relaxes and just watches the show. Like you said, you're allowed to, like, have opinions on it and talk about it with other people. It's like, take a moment to like read over what you said and think, would I be okay with someone saying about this, me, like saying this thing about me or someone that I knew or loved? Like, you probably wouldn't, so don't say it. It's fine.
Yeah. And you know what, I just completely ate my own words because I didn't hear a single thing you said, because I was scrolling on Survivor Reddit just seeing like what they've been saying, and then there was a post about me and Christian, like, that was 5 years ago, and it was like a pretty sweet post. It was like, oh, I miss these Survivor nerds, and I was being self-absorbed, not listening to you, Derek, and I was scrolling, and then I get to a comment that's like, Gabby had no game, like, blah, blah, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why you don't do this, people, okay?
Literally. I saw that freaking post today. It's just like everything, or it's like, there were comments in there like, loved them, fucking hate Brandon. Like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, they're just like looking to be hateful and ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. And if you're gonna do that, at least be funny. None of them are funny either.
No, never funny. I know for a fact Brandon would respect any shit talking if it was funny. But like, if you're not,
he's got a really good sense of humor about it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't, if you can't be funnier than the person like being self-deprecating to themselves, like, you're, don't even bother.
Yeah, like, try again. That's yeah.
So, yeah, try again, but meaner this.
Workshop it.
meaner and funnier. So yeah, those are my thoughts on the 45. Any other closing thoughts? I forget. Did we ever decide how we structure EDGIC anymore? If we want to do that,
we have not. But I think that we should talk about it post a plug situation, just because we didn't really get into it, and sort of we're at the end anyway.
That's good to me. Gabby, do you want to remind the good people where they can send hate mail to you?
Yes, please send all hate mail to me on Twitter at Gabby Tascuzzi or Instagram at Gabscoozy.
Yes.
Ding.
Christine, what about you? Where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at The X-Teen Files and on Instagram at The X-Teen Files. You can read in my writing on Inside Survivor every week this season. Gia and I will once again be doing a little column, kind of wrapping up each episode, giving our takes, our commentary. So you can look forward to that. I need to do that for this week. I have not started. And if you didn't listen to Stanima, we just wrapped up the season. Derek came on for the finale. We had a very good time talking about our Aris's butt. So if you want to listen to that,
rotund.
Yeah. You get in the Bitter Jurors feed, as is Stanawatu. And then you listen to the Shadow Play Gaze, me and Derek's podcast about Revolutionary Girl Utena. We will eventually do the musicals.
We did Sailor Moon, so you're welcome.
We did Sailor Moon. We just put out a Sailor Moon episode about talking about Uranus and Neptune, which was very fun. Yeah, Derek, where can people find you?
From Aris's butt to Uranus.
To Uranus. We can find me at Rain Derek's on Twitter. Yeah, follow Shadow Play Gaze. Follow us at Bitter Jurors Pod, Twitter, Instagram. That's it. Sam?
For me, at Sam Stanish, everywhere, plus Buffy Boyfriends, Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast with my boyfriend. And yeah, listen to our podcast that you're currently listening to.
Just keep doing it. So yeah, I guess for people who are coming in this season, we're about to talk about EDGIC. Just Google EDGIC, E-D-G-I-C, to get the rundown for what we're even talking about. Basically gonna talk through what the edit is telling us about who we think will win the season. Anyone have any strong feelings? I feel like I already touched on my Keturah thoughts, but does anyone else have like someone that they're really honed in on?
I mean, I concur. Keturah had a great premiere. I really liked her opening confessional, kind of, because Drew gets the first one about talking about how smart he is and like he's gonna use his smarts to win the game or something, and then immediately we get Keturah being like, no, you don't want to do that, you want to downplay that. So that's already really interesting. I mean, it just game wise she set up well on her tribe, and was shown to be really smart. So I think if she has that narrative like being smart, people not catching on to her, that would be a compelling winner narrative. So that was the only person who really jumped out to me in this premiere as a strong contender to win.
The Drew and Keturah confessionals are actually even more in conversation than that, because Drew opens the game being like, I'm in college, I'm really smart, but you can't learn Survivor in school. Like, it's a whole new experience or whatever. And then Keturah immediately comes in and is like, I've studied Survivor. Like, I've learned all about it, blah, blah, blah. And so it's like, I think that especially since she's in that same confessional being like, I'm not going to tell people I'm a lawyer, I don't want them to see I'm very smart, and then we see later in the episode she does exactly that, I feel like that is all intentional and good for her. I feel like Kelly maybe had a bit more strong premiere, honestly, to me, just because I feel like we were shown her, it was about her connecting with Kendra and like about their relationship and the three of them as a group, not so much. It was there too, but it was more about like Kendra and Kelly connecting, and Keturah was also there.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, and Kelly even had a confessional where she's like, you know, like, I'm not all about everything that Kendra is talking about, but we're connecting and we're vibing anyway. And I feel like that's a good thing.
I agree. Kelly had maybe more of like a traditional winner's edit for like a woman, at least like pre-new era, where it's like quieter, but we already know an alliance she's in. And that's only good for her. We also know stuff about her. I guess, for Keturah, I would say, like, if I remember, like, the co-wrong girlies, it was always more through, like, Anna's perspective, which is harrowing to think about. But I don't know. I just feel like the Bellow girls are just, like, that feels very important. It's, like, the only, like, real alliance that we got, like, focus on outside of Caleb and Sabaya kind of being forced to work together on Lulu. Because I don't think we got any Reba Alliance talk at all. Or if we did, it wasn't interesting.
Best we saw was Drew and Jamaya connecting, but no actual, like, we're going to work together.
Over Paul Franz, which we were told by Bruce is wrong. so it's not lasting.
I mean, to talk about the Sabaya and Caleb thing specifically, it's so bizarre because I feel like it was framed so similar to how V and Sean are talked about in Marquesas, like, so long ago. And it's like, it was just so strange to me to, like, see in 2023, I guess.
It's a weird moment
how is this happening?
There's a weird moment where, like, Emily, which we can get into the Emily Gabler of it all in a little bit. But it's like a weird moment where, like, Emily is like, yeah, like, Sabaya and Caleb are, like, so close. But the only shot that they could, like, cut to was them, like, laughing together, clearly, like, in a group setting, but they just, like, cropped in on just the two of them, like, laughing together. So it's like, I think they are working together, but, like, just in, because, well, first of all, they spent, like, the first, like, hours of the game to get
exactly
to be together
just by chance. Yeah
And,
well, they picked them too. I feel like it's like, you guys go do Sweat and Savvy, so you're putting them together.
Well, it was Emily talks about that in the episode. She was like, I thought it was so suspicious that they were the only people who volunteered to go, and it's like, why didn't you volunteer to go?
Suspicious.
Yeah, it's very weird, and I feel like I could, like, be okay with that, I guess, if it's like, the only reasoning was, yeah, they were at Sweat and Savvy together, so they're gonna be working together. But it was weird that at Tribal she said something like, well, the two, like, you just look at us and you know instantly who the strongest people are, and it's Sabaya and Caleb. And it's like, that's like a weird thing to say. It's like, I guess just because Sabaya is like, has more muscle and Caleb's taller than all of you, like, I guess that's what, but it's just like a weird thing to say. I don't really like what she's saying there, and I'm sure it's not intentional on her part, but it's like, that's just a weird thing to say. And I don't, and then you pair it with her, like, coming for Bruce, which was, like, funny, but it's just like, girl, like, let's just, like, take a step back and, like, realize what you're trying to say here. It is very weird.
Hannah also said in Exit Confessional that, like, it's very it was clear to her too that Sabaya and Caleb were working together. So, like, but it, you know, it's just like it's a messy situation, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm not accusing of anything. It's just like it reads poorly on television, and I hope there's more to it that we get to see.
It's also just not great gameplay to, like, really latch on to, like, you guys have known each other for 3 days. I know it's like the gig pace is faster and everything, but, like, no one has formed an unbreakable bond on day 3. Like, it just was a lot of energy dedicated to breaking up some perceived duo on the first tribal council. I get these tribes are small, but, like, it was just bad gameplay regardless of who it was geared towards. It was just really messy and overplaying. We're getting more into the gameplay aspect.
Yeah, this really isn't Edric anymore.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll return, but I also just want to say, like, pitching to eliminate the people that you are saying are the best in challenges directly after you lose the first challenge is just not something that, like, a majority of people on your tribe are gonna go for. I feel like I understand the idea of, like, if we vote completely based on tribe strength forever, I'm not gonna, like, make it to the merge, whatever. But it's just, it's a really hard sell, and it feels like the wrong move, even just, like, if these were all robots.
It's the wrong move.
Let's go back to Edric. Are there other people we are noticing other than the Bello girls? And I don't remember who else we talked about.
Well, I was to get into, like, Emily's Edric of it. I mean, it is noteworthy that this is a very similar to start that we've seen for a lot of New Era winners, like these poor social startings for them. This is, like, very Gabler coded. Like, and I was like, I know, which is, I hate to say that, but it is very similar. And it's like, we also, like, everything was framed through Emily's perspective on the Lulu tribe. Like, we always were going to Emily to hear what her thoughts were. So it's like, I don't rule it out. And if Matt talk theory is holding true, she and Bruce and Brandon were the only ones who got Matt talk. So,
oh my gosh. I'm ruling it out. I'm sorry. Because a woman that played Gabler's game would not have won.
There you go.
It's not a good, his was like, he was being abrasive, but in like a dorky, like a goofy, quote unquote, lovable way, like waking you up by putting the palm fronds on you. But hers is like, I am actively creating nemesis within the first 5 minutes of the game. So it's not for me. It's not, I don't see that potential there.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I just feel, I mean, her opening confessional is like, if I'm not the first person, if I don't win, I it's better to be the first person out than anywhere else or whatever. And I do think that she's gonna be the first person voted out. Like, I just think that she'll be the boot in the next episode. Like, it doesn't seem like Lulu's gonna win a challenge anytime soon, and so it just feels like she'll be gone.
Yeah
my only edgic like hot take was the reason that I have Jake as my winner pick was after the premiere, because I felt like he kind of got the underestimated whatever winner pick that, like, I tend to pick up on those things for I agree that Katura's edit was amazing because she was like fooling him, but then I feel like I go like the next level where she was like, because I don't see him as very strategic, and so he's really not a threat. And to me, that's always a flag for me that other people are underestimating that person, that they actually will be a threat or later, because he seems really socially savvy. So it's good if people are not seeing him as strategic. So he's kind of, that led me to picking him as my winner pick.
That makes a lot of sense to me. And we got to hear from him a lot. We got his, like, he was the only one who, like, kind of got an intro package. Like, we got we saw his room in the attic of his grandma's place.
Grandma. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
Oh, that's true.
He had the sort of traditional winners whatever thing of the $1 million quote. So he said, if I win the $1 million, I'm moving out of Nana's. And, yeah, they showed the Nana thing. So for me, the winner gets introduced in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he was, and then the thing that I said before. So I that's who I feel like, but I am not very good at picking these things based on edric. So we'll see.
I just want to note that there were photos of Sifu in the opening thing too. Like, Andrew. Okay. Like, there were a couple people who like had photos from outside. I think Katura also had like a lawyer headshot or something,
right? But they were like quick flashes. They weren't like, let's halt the momentum of the story and talk about someone for 5 minutes. I think Jake is a great pick, and maybe it's just like the bellow glow that we have going on here, but it is, it's just like feels right for him. I could see him integrating himself into a group, or like maybe mounting a resistance to whatever power structure comes up, because I think he does, if he were to win, it would feel like correct for him to be like a kind of underdog, like you said, because people are underestimating him. I don't know, I feel like Brando is like at the bottom of the bellows for me, just because he didn't have much content. The content was like fine, but it wasn't, I don't know, he just wasn't saying it wasn't like winner vibes to me at all.
He's getting my Carson Garrett nice young man award.
So true.
He seems really sweet. I wouldn't say that he's giving winner vibes, but I think he's fun. I mean, same with Bruce. I feel like Bruce is being very shafted in the edit by the other people on his tribe, and so I feel like that's not an amazing thing, but it's kind of like what you were saying, Derek, where the winners of the new era can have this sort of premiere and it's not like the end of the world.
Yeah, although I mean, I could see maybe like a Bruce losing finalist thing. I don't know. The Bruce edit kind of gagged me a little. I was like expecting like a glowing hero Bruce return, not like, oh God, Bruce is like being cuckoo.
It was someone on Twitter, I think it was Ashley's dream board, who was like, I can't believe Bruce is getting all three of the Philippines returnees edit in one. Especially with the scenes from next week, I think that is very, very accurate.
Yeah, that's just, it's surprising to me. I mean, that's interesting that Survivor is like, I guess, taking the stance that like returnees are not sacred ground. Like, if you come back and you are acting a fool, like, we're gonna show it. But it just makes me excited that we get like character Bruce instead of like marching to the end Bruce. Like, that's way less interesting to me, obviously. Any other hot takes, any other big calls anyone wants to make? Julie Truthers, are we in here? Are we in the chat?
We met her. She spoke.
She spoke words.
She spoke. Yeah, she was not in the first 10 minutes. So realistically, my like logic doesn't stand through, but she spoke.
the dog who doesn't bark. It's always been there.
The new Tina Wesson.
Yes, she's here.
Did Jam Jam have a Matt chat?
Yes,
he did.
Okay. It's been true all four. Okay, for all
the new
four.
New era. So this would make or break that rule.
I really hope it breaks. Like that's such a stupid thing to look out for.
I know, it's like that, and it's like this was. I feel like they were always going to show this like interaction between Emily and Bruce. So I'm like, I'm fine. Like saying we don't need to take that as a golden rule anymore. But then she wins, maybe not.
Especially since Brandon was going to pass out immediately after, they need to like introduce us to him so that we know who that is.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is the season that is we're going to break that pattern. I think, first of all, they know people have caught on to it by now. And like, I think it's time to retire the Matt Chat thing. I think they're just going to find other ways to introduce people in the premiere. Like in confessional. Yeah. So like, yeah, I think it's more looking at the content we get this episode than the Matt Chat. Cause like you said, like they had to introduce these characters. Emily was a main antagonist in this episode. You had to have the Bruce confession. You had to have the Bruce intro. You had to have a response. And then, Brendan, there would have been no stakes if we hadn't met him. He's just like, oh, who's this random guy just passing out?
Yeah.
So like, obviously would love for Matt Chat to prove true and Brandon could turns it around and wins. Period. But I think it was circumstantial.
Yeah. I know. I hope Brandon gets a nicer turnaround in the edit at least. Like I just like, oh, our boy. I'm scared for our boy. I just hope he had fun out there as much as possible, you know? That's my only hope.
I think his edit was okay, but people have selective response. Yeah.
I agree. I was about to say, like, we saw Emily target Caleb, and then we saw Brandon be like in strategic conversations as well. So it's not like he's like
edited.
I just feel like he's like not someone I'm looking at directly.
And he was a narrator. Like, so if anything, it's more of giving like growth, kind of a character.
I mean, I think that it seems like he's gonna be here. I think he's gonna be one of the main people. I feel like he'll be like fourth person, fire making, whatever, and it'll be like, you came into this game and you passed out, but now you're like this changed human being kind of thing that we see every single year.
Yeah, I would love that for him. You know, what a great journey to have. That's it.
I think I'm good.
Satisfied.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's everybody who's from like the premiere that I'm like seeing.
Yeah, Sabaya, Caleb, also good, but like again, not the same winner to me.
It feels circumstantial, especially since they did the Savvy and Sweat thing too. It's like I would need to see more. I feel like
right.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. Thank you so much, Gabby.
Thank you, as always,
for joining us.
It was so fun. Love you all.
Love you. Love you, Christine and Sam. Love you, our beautiful, amazing listeners. To our haters, keep listening. I don't know. Do we even have haters?
I don't think we have haters.
No, people don't heard from haters, but I hope we start. I would love to start being really, really controversial.
Whoever edits this episode needs to selectively edit out the clarification about Bruce's concussion, and then you'll get haters.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, we'll do a horrifically ableist Derek edit of this episode just to get hate clicks. A bullet for us, you know, we need it.
Thank God.
But yes, thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next week for another 90 goddamn minutes of Survivor. Bye.
Bye.